Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, that's a perfect segue there for two reasons.
You know what that means.
Number one, we run a promo that says, this is a show that takes calls. I like that to be our perception. And number two, Manuel and Gardena. Appreciate you calling in, Manuel from Gardena. How you doing, man?
Flea stacking, always on the attacking like LeBron, the Don. What's up, my man? You've been doing your thing this week. I'm proud of you.
No, we got to make it happen. You know, I will say this. For a time where we don't have sports going on, got to be honest, Manuel, there's always things to talk about. Like, there's things coming out on the daily. And, you know, whether it's today, Cook's getting traded. Yesterday, LeBron and Pelinka addressed the media. I mean, there's always something going on. So do you want to hit on that Laker topic that we had?
Absolutely, but you just glanced over something that actually caught my mind earlier, man. I'm a Raider fan, but I got a lot of Ram fans that are down with me, a lot of Ramily in my, inner circle. Mm-hmm. And what the hell are they doing getting rid of a guy like Brandon Cooks, man? I really don't understand it. You can tell me about it a little later what you think, but
By the way, Manuel, I think it's just financially. I mean, that's it. Just comes down to finances. He had a five-year, 81.
You know what? Sleep. Mm-hmm. You're even making him look worse, man, because come on, man. You backed by Walmart, and you can't afford to be paying cats? That's embarrassing, man.
So we'll see what they do. They're going to have their hands full this upcoming season. This draft's going to mean a lot to them. So, but tell me what your thoughts on the Laker front.
I hope so, man, for my peoples. The Lakers, I think there's no way that the NBA does not squeeze in a season. You know, I think they'll figure it out. I think that Las Vegas plan has to be the way to go. I mean, it's going to cost a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of testing, but you know what? I mean, for a league like that, you have to have the 2020 season, in my opinion. It can be done. Like I say, it's not going to be easy, not going to be inexpensive, but it's doable. As far as the Lakers, I absolutely think that they will come through this year when it comes back. So it's not going to be a wasted year, man. You know, as far as the NBA and the contracts, I wish that they would do something like honor all the money and stuff, but just for this one time, leave the players the property. You know, they could renegotiate with the team or they could get bought out, but I don't know, man. In my opinion, great show. Well, what's up?
I was just going to say, yeah, I think there's, man, Manuel, there's so many questions to what they can do, what they will do. And I appreciate you calling in as always, man. I greatly appreciate your calls.
What's up?
All right, that's Manuel from Gardena. But I will say this, in regards to the Lakers, I put this question out. Would you still consider the Lakers season a success if there was no champion crown this year, if they didn't finish a season? And I put it up on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. Let me just go ahead and say, I'm not surprised with a lot of the responses I'm getting. And listen, I set it up. I said, here are all the positives that happened this year. But of course, you know, I can't look at it as a successful season if we don't have a shot at a championship. And again, it's nobody's fault. But that's – and I'll even put aside – I don't care, and I think a lot of people are saying, well, it's the Lakers. It's championship or nothing. Put that even to the side. It's just the fact of where we were, right? It's – there's some years – the last 6 years, nobody was thinking Lakers are going to win a championship. That was the reality. But this year, you actually felt like you had a shot. Robin Victorville, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Sliwa Show. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Sliwa?
Good, man. Thank you.
Hey, man. I just wanted to say that as far as the season goes, I would agree with you to a certain extent, but it really comes down to perspective. As far as a player's perspective, then, yeah, totally not a success, unfulfilling, incomplete, if you would. But for a fan that's looking at it, reasonably, this was a successful season, even without it being complete. I mean, a big disappointment, yes, but success, I would say, because
alluded to with the LeBron part, AD, Coach Vogel, Pelinka.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it in the big picture, I mean, we haven't tasted the playoffs for 6 years, man. I mean, and now it's like we're not going to get to play them. I mean, I hope we will, but we may not. But this season had a lot of juice, man. It had a lot of things mm-hmm. going. I think that it's a picture of what's upcoming. Because to me, you know, when you look at the Lakers, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, LeBron's old. He lost his window." But they were saying that this year, wasn't they? Wasn't they, you know, saying the Wash King, something that he had put up on the post-up board? I mean, you know, so, you know, people always want to jump the gun, man.
And I think, Rob, and I appreciate you calling in, bud, but I think one of the reasons why, and I'm one to say that too, it's like I think we were all shocked that LeBron had this good of a season. And I think naturally there's a question mark about, okay, well, can he do it again next year? And I think it's just the way the season has just kind of stopped abruptly is what raises the question. I'll read off a couple quick tweets. At Travis O 1984 says, yes, while no one likes the circumstance, of course, they were beyond their control. The Lakers did everything within their power to put themselves in a position to win. As disappointing as it will be not to finish, I can call it unsuccessful. I can't call it unsuccessful given the circumstances. Another one on here, Six God One says number one in the West, Western Conference champs. But then there's a ton of people that just simply put say it's not a successful season because they were not crowned a champion or had a chance to be crowned champion. I'm looking ahead, so we may very well in 30 days from now get an opportunity to say, okay, hey, June 1st, NBA is coming back. July 1st, NBA is coming back. But it could also not be the case, and I'm always curious to just get Lakers fans on the Lakers fan thoughts on that. Okay, we've been doing this all week. We're going to continue doing it. Next week, we're going to do it as well. High school senior shout out. We've done this. We've done this every night. Coming up next, Isabel Lion Teron De Leon from Rancho Verde High School. She is coming up next. Her nickname is Lion. I mean, when your nickname is Lion, you make room. All right, so she's coming up next. We'll get a chance to talk to her about her senior year. We'll do that right here on 710 ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. You know, this has been one of kind of one of the cooler things that the station has been doing. So all this week on 710 ESPN, we are shouting out senior students and giving them a senior spotlight on the air. So tonight, and this is, again, we'll do this tomorrow. We'll do this all next week as well. Tonight, Isabel Lion Teron De Leon from Rancho Verde High School. She is part of the marching band there. By the way, you still have time to nominate a classmate or yourself. Email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com with your name, school, and a sport you play, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 senior shout out. Isabel Teron De Leon, and if I'm correct, Isabel, so is your nickname Lion? Is that what people call you, Lion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to call you Lion this entire interview. Does that work?
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, so much better. I don't have a nickname. I don't have anything like that. First of all, thank you for coming on. First question, so you're in the marching band. What instrument do you play?
I play the flute.
Play the flute. Okay. How long have you played instruments your whole life? Is it just in high school? How long have you been playing the flute?
Honestly, I've been playing since around sixth grade, but yeah, I've been keeping up at it.
All right. So what do you like about it? Just that opportunity to be a part of the marching band. What is it that you enjoy other than just the instrument? Is there something about the camaraderie with friends? Is it, being in front of all the fans, what do you enjoy about it?
For me, like being in my marching band, we have field shows, and I think those are like really fun and all. But honestly, like the people in my band, I don't know what I'd do without them. They've honestly given me like the best years of my life, and especially my band director. I have to thank him like every time. Hotsuk, he's worked so hard for our band, and it's really fun to watch it grow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How many people? How many students are typically in the band, in the marching band?
On a year-to-year basis, it's around 260 to 273 at most, I think.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a big program.
That's awesome. No, I didn't think it was, I didn't know that it was that big. So give me some of your, what are some of your best memories? So just over the years, let's use high school as an example, maybe some different events that you guys were a part of the marching band. What stands out to you?
What really stands out to me is that we were in the 2020 Rose Parade this year, which was like a really huge accomplishment for us. And everybody's really been proud of that. And honestly, I'm still not over it. So I'm just glad I got to do that before my high school career ended.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What was that like, getting a chance to just kind of march down in Pasadena? What was that experience like?
It felt almost surreal because we had been practicing like nonstop for almost a year and a half. And it was like, it felt like a dream almost, like turning a corner and there was just a million people like watching us. Watching myself on TV again was insane.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Did you, is that what you did? Was there a lot of telling family and friends like, look, I might be on the Rose Bowl parade. No big deal. This is just what I do. But I'm sure you hyped it up and you told all your friends and family about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was the biggest event of the year, even though it was the first day.
That's great. Okay, so what happens after high school? What are you thinking? Do you have in mind where you'd like to go to college? Is college something that you want to go through with? What do you have in mind?
Yeah, I just got accepted in an art college I really wanted to go to actually yesterday night, which was really funny. So
look at you.
I'm actually just trying to go there, yeah.
Where's the arts college? Is it here in LA or is it outside of Los Angeles?
It's actually in Laguna Hills. Yeah, sorry, I almost forgot.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. So your favorite subject in high school, was it predominantly art? Like what about art are you most interested in? What is it that you do with specifically for you in art?
I've been doing art since I was a baby, basically, like ever since I could hold up a pen. And I feel like the allure of it is being able to create your own stories and your own world. And actually, I've never really had art classes in like school, like during the school day, except for this year. And it's been sort of just my thing for now. But yeah.
That's amazing. So what is... how are you guys, I mean, just I know a lot of seniors are in a similar predicament where, you know, the school year is cut short, but you guys are still trying to make it happen from home. But how has it been with some of your friends and things along those lines? Are you trying to keep in touch with everybody? Of course, unfortunately, you're not going to get that opportunity to kind of see them through the school year, but are you still keeping in touch with all your friends?
Yeah, I've been calling them a lot, and I miss them more than anything, but I know that we'll be okay after everything is over.
So what happens with, just out of curiosity on this one, I don't think I've asked any of the seniors yet. So what happens with, like, prom and some of those types of events? Do all those just, is it just a question mark like all these other things are, all these other public events?
Yeah, they haven't really told us if they're going to reschedule it, or I think they're basically canceled for the most part. But I know for sure a lot of people were devastated about not having a graduation, especially like it's the final closure, I guess. But I feel like it's important for especially people who have families that like immigrated from different countries and they just want to see, you know, their children's success come to like fruition and stuff.
Well, look, I wish you nothing but success, and I think that's very, very cool that just yesterday you get accepted to that art school, and then you get to hop on tonight and kind of share that story. But great stuff, and congratulations on also being a part of the Rose Bowl parade, and wish you nothing but success, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for hopping on. That's Isabel Lyon Teran de Leon from Rancho Verde High School. She is part of the marching band. Man, how great are these high school students? Every single one that we've brought on and all the station, you know, every show is doing it. So I know everybody's got kind of their own unique story, but I love it. We've had a basketball player on. We've had a baseball player, now marching band. I mean, it's great to kind of hear everybody's story. And all of them are different. And I mentioned this yesterday, and I'll kind of continue to mention it. You know, your senior year in high school, what a special year. What a special year. I know I look back my senior year, you thought, how is this high school going to continue once this class graduates? You know, everybody's kind of in their own world. But to have it just kind of cut like that, that's that's a tough one. So obviously I feel for a lot of those high school students, but I also love to be able to kind of share their story. Okay. We got halftime coming up next. Like I mentioned, we'll continue to do these, the senior shout out. We'll do it tomorrow and then all next week as well. Halftime coming up next. Jesse and Curtis will hop on as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, on Twitter at Alan Sliwa, Instagram at Alan Sliwa. Got a lot of responses on that Twitter question that I put up. Would you still consider the Lakers season a success if no champion was crowned? So you could hop on to do that there. Jesse, Curtis, how we doing over there, guys?
Holding it down, holding it down.
We are doing
here.
Cold. I'm cold.
Can I say
I'm
this?
Cold. I'm wearing my headphones Alan Sliwa style.
Oh, where Alan it sits Sliwa on top style. Of your head? The hoodie?
Yeah.
Yeah, where it sits on top of my head over my hoodie.
I can't even use those headphones anymore, right? Because we don't have that plug and everything's going through our phone. But I want to actually ask you guys this, because when I had Dylan Hernandez on, are you guys UFC fans? Just out of curiosity, are you guys fans or no?
I don't follow it like closely, but I do watch the fights.
Some of
like,
the fights,
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to be Curtis? Deep into it. It's kind of fallen off. After McGregor stopped fighting, I kind of fell off with it.
Well, I'm just kind of looking these last couple of days, and I mentioned it on the show. I was talking about Dana White, and I was like, look, this guy, I forget who said it. Curtis, you might have said it. Like, those are boss moves that he's going to try to go out and get an island. Maybe you said it, Jess, but whatever the case was. But I kept kind of in the back of my mind, I was like, damn, how's he able to put together a fight? Like, and when it came down today that the fight wasn't happening, it just fell along the lines of everything else with everybody else in sports, but he almost pulled it off. I mean, I don't know if it's the smartest thing to do, but he almost pulled it off. Like, he literally, it sounded like he was just probably 1 or 2 days away from pulling it off.
I mean, if any of those higher ups he kind of mentioned in that clip never came to him, it's a totally different conversation. We're talking about that fight that's happening.
Mickey Mouse didn't call him himself, he would still be doing it. He would still be having this pay-per-view this weekend.
I agree. I think definitely pressure, right? Like, if the pressure didn't come down, and the pressure's coming on ESPN and Disney, that might be coming from consumers, right? Like, what are you guys doing? Or, by the way, that could be coming from governors. It could be coming from politicians. You got all these other sports that just put a pause on everything. And listen, he almost made it happen, whether it was the right thing to do or not. I mean, I'm with the whole, let's just take our time, figure this thing out, and then we'll go from there. But I want to get your thoughts before halftime. Go ahead, Jess.
All right. Yeah, he was just there, almost had it, but not quite. But that's okay. Well, eventually I'll be back to normal soon.
He's going
to
hold it on an island, though. Did you hear that?
But even that, where are you going to televise it?
I don't know.
So, yeah.
There's going to be no place to there's going to be no place for consumers to get it. So and he's got to think big picture, too. Like, that relationship with ESPN is humongous for the UFC. So I think just thinking big picture and saying, all right, I'll take you guys' recommendations. I'll take a step back and worry about this down the road.
Yeah, definitely. At this point, why fight? Like, it's not worth it at that point. Just be like, okay, you know, we'll do this. We'll take a step back, let everything kind of try to resolve a little bit before continuing and, you know, going on with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So moving on to the halftime. It is Thursday. That means it's a hashtag Thursday throwback on Instagram and Twitter and all your social media stuff. So I thought, you know, we got some time before we really get into it and get some good Thursday throwback memories. Give me a good Thursday throwback, Alan.
Thursday throwback. By the way, have you guys, be honest here, have you guys gone out of your way on social on any of these throwbacks and like have put up a picture or anything along those lines or no?
I have before. I haven't done it lately, but I have before.
Nope, never.
I'm gonna guess Curtis has not. I'm gonna guess Curtis.
I did one as a joke a long time ago, and it was just kind of a dumb joke. that I won't talk
and
about.
And then you stop.
And then
yeah,
it's
yeah.
done.
Then you stop. Yeah, your confidence level is like, nah, that's it. It's over. It's over. Okay, so go back. So here's my question to you, Jess, because I've never done this before too. When you say do a Thursday throwback, is it like I go back to a memory? I go back to a sporting event?
Yeah,
like,
go back to a memory. Any memory you got before all this COVID-19 stuff. And just remind people, just, you know, we're still looking at the light.
I got one.
Tunnel. It may be far down the line, but there is a light.
I got a throwback that was, not even a month ago. Thursday throwback would be Lakers at the Clippers, me standing in the media section. Bronstein is to my left. I have to stand because they didn't give me a media seat, but I'm doing the end of the first quarter. I'm doing end of the third quarter from there. And Curtis, I was cheering as if I was at spring break or something.
I was ready to go. We were so psyched. And we never got to really celebrate it.
So that's my Thursday throwback. By the way, no idea what's going on with the neighbors, but there's people just cheering outside. I have no idea why.
I was wondering what that faint noise.
You hear it?
They were thinking about when the Lakers beat the Clippers last. So
they were thinking about it too. That's my throwback. Jess, what's your throwback?
You know what? I'm going to go back a couple years just to preview tomorrow's guest, director of the Coachella documentary, Chris. Mm-hmm. Parkell. I'm going to go back to the first year when I went to Coachella back in 2013 to night two. That night or that day, we lost my friend who is blind the whole day just to find him right as we get back to our campsite for a happy reuniting. And then we proceed to get drunk because we're at Coachella.
Yeah, Coachella. And you have a reason for that. By the way, promote it a little bit. So tomorrow, like you mentioned, we're having – just kind of give a little bit of a tease what tomorrow is, that interview.
So tomorrow we got Chris Parkell coming on. He is the director of Coachella 20 Years documentary. It's 20 Years in the Desert. It's going to be available tomorrow at noon. So whether you want to watch it before we talk to Chris or after we talk to Chris, it'll be available tomorrow at noon. You can watch it on YouTube for free. It was something that they were going to release, I think, after the – originally after Coachella is going to happen because tomorrow is supposed to be the first day of the first weekend. I mean, there's some people listening out there who they were supposed to be already there at the campsite. You know, when I went, I was there Thursday morning because Thursday was that setup day. You got to set up and that's the day where you go all out. So, you know, I'm with the people who are kind of sad that it's not happening, but
I got a story for you. Curtis in 2010 was out there for three straight weeks. He didn't shower, nothing. Curtis is just, that's what he does. Curtis is, I mean, he's into music.
He went
like
to Coachella?
Else. Yeah.
And
yeah,
Curtis coach? Did. Yo.
2010, yeah. I was graduating high school.
I know. And that's teaching what you class. Did. That's what you did for 3 weeks. He didn't tell anybody. He just, that's what Curtis does. That's what Curtis does. Curtis, you got a throwback for us, or are you going to do it like you were mentioning where you did it one time and you never did it again?
Yeah, I never did it before. I can't even think of one. My throwback, honestly, is seeing people again because I've been in this building by myself, and I miss you guys. No lie, I miss having people around. So that's really – I just remember the good old times.
There's not a soul. Do the security guards still come in and walk around?
Not as much. Not as much as before.
Okay. Oof. Is there anything in the fridge?
No,
anything
I get
at all?
You.
No. I see Funches every day, and that's it.
Just Funches. Okay. All right. Let's keep rolling, Jess.
It's moving on. So it's got a two-parter question for you, Alan. Earlier today, NBC announced that SNL is going to return from its hiatus this Saturday, and it's a regular scheduled time slot. And material we were produced remotely as SNL practices social distancing. They said Weekend Update and other original content from SNL cast members is expected. So first off, I want to ask you, how in the hell do you think these guys are going to pull it off? Because they released a picture, just one picture, and it's a screenshot of, you know, maybe all a good portion of all their cast. But they're all from home. They're all like on the square Zoom thing. So I don't know if it's going to be like live, or if these guys are just producing content from home, like on their webcam and putting it up. There's a lot of questions. They didn't give a whole lot of answers because
it leaves kind of some leaves you to your imagination a little bit. Look,
definitely
we talked so much about how we lost sports, right? Like during this time, all these big events that were going on, Laker games, and that applies to us because not only are we at a sports radio station, we cover the Lakers, Rams are coming up, LAFC was just starting, the Dodgers, like there's all these events. But sometimes I forget, personally, I forget that there's the Conan O'Brien show, there's the Jimmy Kimmel show, like there's all these other shows that are also affected. So when you say Saturday Night Live, yeah, I think there's some curiosity there. You know, I think there's curiosity to see how they would do it. It's funny because David Bowder, Associated Press, he's coming up at 8:30, and bringing him on for a couple reasons. Number one, he's going to give just what the viewership is right now from a TV perspective, but he's also going to talk about how all these shows are now doing these, you know, they're now doing it from the kitchen. They're doing it from the living room. They're doing it from their basement.
They're trying to get creative.
They have to, right? Like it's either that or you have no content. Let's use us as an example. This isn't a perfect scenario. Like me doing the show from here, you producing from your house, Curtis the only one there. But if we don't do this, then that means we don't do any radio. I'll take this 10 times out of 10. I'll take this 100 times out of 100 just to have it. And if, okay, if there's less people that are in their cars or on the road or whatever the case is, at least they still get the option to have local content. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. 100%. So I'm excited for this SNL this weekend. We'll probably talk about it more on Tuesday. But now my second part of this question. Were you an SNL or a Mad TV guy growing up?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think over the two, I was more Mad TV. I was more
my
Mad
man.
TV.
That's what. Oh, yeah. So was I.
Yeah, no. I was more Mad TV. But there are classic SNLs that I die laughing at anytime I see it again. And the one they're all either Farley or they're Will Ferrell. Like those
Will
are the
Ferrell.
Two that those are the two that stand out to me in SNL. But I was more Mad TV than I was. Than I was Saturday Night Live. Curtis, what were you between the two?
I didn't watch much of either, but I'm a huge fan of one person that did Mad TV. I don't know how long he did it for, but it was like one of the first podcasts I ever listened to back in the day too. Will Sasso was my favorite comedian for a really long time.
Will Sasso is amazing.
He made some appearances in WWE for some skits too, but I listened to some, his that was like the first podcast I listened to, some joke one with him and a couple other guys.
With him, was it like the 10-minute one? With
10-minute
like
podcast.
Yep, I know exactly the podcast.
With Chris Stalia, stand-up comedian, and Brian Cowan. He's with Brendan Schaub and all them.
No, Will Sasso. Will Sasso is great. Yeah, Sasso. He's definitely great.
Right, and if you follow Matt him on Twitter, he does some funny stuff on Twitter still too. So he's a good follow.
Yeah, he's always throwing up funny stuff on his Instagram too. I love it. All right, so moving on, Matt. I'm great. I'm so glad both of you guys are more Matt TV guys because I was the same thing. All right, so.
All right, I got one real quick.
Oh, you got one.
Let's go. It's not a game. It's not anything, but it just sparked from this.
Give your thoughts.
Out of all the people that you out of all the people that you guys follow on Twitter, think about everybody that you follow on Twitter. And that obviously whoever you follow kind of meets whatever your interests are. Jesse, who is your favorite Twitter follower? And Curtis, I'll ask you the same question. Jess, you go first. Your favorite Twitter follower. I have one, and it's really random. But and Jess, if you're still thinking about it, Curtis, you know right off the bat, jump in.
Well, I just added at Lakers Talk on Twitter. Finally.
At Alan Sliwa.
Oh, did you change
at
it?
Alan Sliwa. I changed it.
You should shorten it to at Slee.
At Slee.
Slee at night.
Slee Stack.
Oh, Slee at night.
I can't change it anymore. That's it. Leave it at Sliwa, and that's it. No, because you got to go. I got to get ESPN to help with some of that stuff, and that's like a process. So I'm like, once I got it like this, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm never changing this thing again. All right, tell me, you got who's your favorite follow? Your favorite follow?
So like that I follow or follows me, kind of thing.
Curtis, who you follow, man? Who you follow?
You know who's really funny? She's always on. Molly Knight's a really good Twitter follow.
Yeah, she's good.
I followed her for a really long time before I even like worked here. Like there's some good dry humor on Twitter that I really enjoy.
Okay, how about you? How about you, Jess?
So just kind of like thinking and scrolling frantically down my Twitter timeline.
Well, if you want more thought, I could give mine.
Go for it. Give yours. Okay, I'm going to give like a small handful just because there's a lot of good people that I follow.
Okay, here's a – I don't know if she's underrated, but you know who's kind of comical sometimes on Twitter with her tweets? Mina is very, very good on Twitter.
Yeah, Mina's good too.
She's witty. She's sometimes she's extremely sarcastic. But this is a random one that I have, and this dude gets me every freaking time. Do you guys know who Dave Portnoy is?
I've seen the name.
No.
Dave Portnoy is he runs Barstool Sports. Okay.
And here's the thing.
I'm not even a Barstool guy. Like, I'm not. Like, their content that they do definitely has an audience, but it's just not my cup of tea. Portnoy is maybe in his, I think, early 40s, something along those lines. He's the one that started the company. But he does things on Twitter that are just – it's not just Twitter. It does it on YouTube, Instagram. But he's just a freaking hilarious follow. Like, he doesn't care. Like, everything he puts up, he doesn't care.
Is he the one that tried the pizza?
He does the pizza review, right? There's all these kind of, like, random things that he does. But here's the thing. You know what makes him a good follow? He doesn't give a you know what, and that's kind of his brand. And I think for that reason, that makes him a good follow. And sometimes I find myself just out of nowhere. I'm like, this is freaking captivating content, even though it means nothing. But he's kind of his own personality that he's built. So that's my favorite follow. Jess, you think of one yet, or at least a couple?
Yeah, so I got a couple. So just right off the bat, one of the first ones that comes to mind is Rex Chapman, just because he's always posting something that will make you laugh.
Chapman's
Another one, yeah, Rex Chapman. There's a guy named Matt Barr that I follow who's a 49er fan. He holds a Fourth and Gold 49er podcast. That's where I get all my 49er fixing. And then Ross Birdman is a wrestling guy, and he tweets out a bunch of wrestling stuff, and then every now and then he'll tweet out something funny. And then one last one, Jeremy Conrad at Manabyte. He's just the guy who's kind of like in the Marvel, MCU comics, that kind of geek nerd realm. And he's breaking stuff and posting, you know, good content you wouldn't find. So that's one guy I always look to.
All right, that's solid. There.
At Alan Sliwa on Twitter.
There it is. There it is, Curtis. Curtis, if you don't follow me, bro,
I just followed you.
That's jacked up. That's jacked up, all right?
Just followed you.
I don't think you follow me, Curtis. That's messed up.
Curtis, bro, you're kind of in your own world, man. I mean, the ego that is on your shoulders these days is just unreal. It is unreal.
I know. I thought it was just a bit. I thought Mason was just playing a bit. No, Curtis,
this is real deal.
Acknowledgement, it like goes in my head.
All right, Jess, keep it rolling. Keep it rolling here.
All right, Roland. So I got a game for you guys. It'll be on my last one here. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article earlier today on Yard Barker by Sean Keane. And he wrote and guessed different NBA players and what position they play in the NFL. So I'm going to give you an NBA player, and I want you to guess what position Sean wrote down and think they can play. So the first one, LeBron James, what position would he play in the NFL?
I got mine. Guess the same one?
I guess it's like we'll see who's closer, I guess.
Okay, I'm going to go tight end.
That's what I was going to say too, tight end. But maybe I'll go wide out then just to be a little different because no one's taking him down.
If he's not a tight end, then he'd be a linebacker. Can you imagine that dude just sitting right behind the defensive line, just eyeing different people? What do they have it as, Jess?
Well, they have it as tight end, so Curtis, you should have definitely stuck with your gut there. And because of everything you said, his size and his strength, like you can't stop him as a tight end. So the second player, James Harden.
James Harden in the NFL would be a punter, and he would flop every time he punts to try and make it look like he got a running into the kicker. I'm going to go punter.
All right. Go punter. What about you, Curtis? James Harden.
That's a really good answer too. I'll say wide receiver again because, you know, trying to get the whole thing.
He ain't no wide receiver.
He's going to try to get the pass interference call.
That's true. That's good.
Well, Curtis, you nailed it, Ron the Hammer. It is wide receiver. You were on the right track, Alan, with that idea.
Yeah, because he'll just fake the PI.
Position. Bro, he's flopping. He's flopping. The guy's flopping.
He'll draw all the fouls and everything. It's perfect. He's already set up for it.
By the way, at least we all agree.
The wide receiver, that I could see it now, like where he's just running a route, puts his arms underneath the corner, and it's like, yeah, I got held. Okay, let's go to the next position.
Definitely. Next position. Next player, Patrick Beverley of the Clippers. What position?
Oh, I got one for Pat Bev. I definitely got one for Pat Bev. Curtis, you want to go? You want me to go first?
I'm thinking hard right now. You can go first.
I'll go corner. Pat Bev would be a corner. Kind of one of those like lockdown corners, or a safety. But I'm gonna go corner by himself.
Corner.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking along the
corner.
Something where he can be really annoying and really be up on you.
It's got to be on.
Yeah, defense. So I'll go secondary as well, but I'll go safety.
Safety. Well, you both are in the right field, but it is the cornerback position. Because when you really think about it, think about all the big-time smack talkers in the NFL. What position do they play? They all play corner.
It is the best position for Patrick Beverley. They're running their mouth.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, he has that frame. Patrick Beverley has that, like, small built frame that's perfect for a corner. All right, moving on. Blake Griffin. What position would Blake Griffin play?
Damn, Blake's too big. Blake, what would Blake play? What would Blake play?
I got one. You want to think on it? You want me to go?
Yeah, go.
I'll go like an end, like a defensive end, just because he's so big and he'll get in the way. So he'll get through. He'll pound through that line through the tight end and just get in the way.
Okay. All right, and Curtis, what about you, Curtis?
I'll go linebacker. I'll just go linebacker.
Linebacker. Okay, linebacker. Well, you both are wrong. Quarterback. Blake Griffin is no quarterback.
Yeah, he's no quarterback.
I take LeBron and KD before Blake. But he can't play. You know, he's always injured. You got to protect him from that line. And, I mean, at 6'9", 250, he can be like maybe a slightly bigger Ben Roethlisberger, a guy that just, you know, he's kind of immobile, but
all the positions that we've called out, I think made sense. I think that one the least from a quarterback perspective, I actually really like
your answer, Alan. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, last something one. Let's do one more.
I didn't say they were all sense. I was just throwing them out there. All right, last one.
I do like this. I do like comparing these because you guys remember, like,
it's a fun conversation.
Antonio Gates used to be in the league, or used to play basketball.
It was his basketball skill that led him to the NFL.
And a lot of these guys, there was a time.
Maybe Graham played basketball too, I think.
I think you're right about that. Remember Julius Peppers too? He played for North Carolina. He played basketball and football. There was a time, this was not too far after Kobe's passing. I went out to Lakers practice, and the entire team was across the street from the Lakers facility. There's a football field there. And by the way, this isn't the first time they've done this, but it was another time. And LeBron was quarterback. Rondo was wide receiver. And they were just kind of running routes, everything like that. It was comical because Kuzma's routes were not that good. DeMarcus Cousins, every time he threw the ball, like he had like the perfect – he made it look like he was a quarterback. And then every time he threw it, it was just hitting the ground and all the guys would laugh. But you can so easily see some of these players, some of them – could have been, you know, they're such unbelievable athletes. I wouldn't be surprised or shocked that if they put the amount of time that they put into basketball into another sport, I don't think it's out of the ordinary for them to make some of these other leagues.
No, definitely. All right, so I got the last one. This one actually is going to be for the win because, Alan, you're in the lead 2-1, so the last one will be 2.5. We'll do the fast track. Zion Williamson. What position would Zion play?
I got mine.
Come on. All right. What do you think?
Actually, it could be one of two. You go first, Curtis. I'll just go opposite.
Oh, you're taking the decisive play.
I'm letting you pick whichever one you want.
It's alignment either way. It's a matter of which side. So I'll go a defensive lineman just because he's attacking much more than he does if he were up.
Okay.
I'm going to go random just to go random. I'll go fullback.
Fullback. Alan says fullback. Curtis says defensive end. Alan, you had your chance. This is your chance to finally win a game. Defensive end. And you want to know something too? Zion Williamson, his high school never had a football team, yet LSU still made him a scholarship offer in 2016.
Can I ask you guys a question? Who's going to tackle Zion Williamson if he's a fullback? Who?
Who's going to block Zion Williamson when you're running after him? When you're running, when you're at a quarterback and he's running after you?
They'll double team him. They'll put two on him. They'll put two guys on him.
Like this big. That big. Zion's huge, man.
No, I know. I know, but that's creative. I like that they did that. What site did that? You said Yardbarker?
Yardbarker. Yardbarker has some great stuff.
All right, solid. Is that it?
GG's still undefeated, by the way.
All right.
Allen is still, defeated. He is very much defeated. Everyone has won a game. Even Funch, I think, won a game. Oh, actually, no, I won that. I swept on Tuesday. Never mind.
Well, you guys go get those trophies. Enjoy them. I mean, I'm so proud of everybody. So proud of everybody.
Thanks. I'll be right back. All right, wins. I'm out.
Okay, let's do this when we come back. Rob Pelinka was on with Mason in Ireland just a few hours ago or so. So I want to play some of that. GM for the Los Angeles Lakers. Well, not just GM, president, basketball operations as well. So Rob Pelinka, when we come back, stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, stay in school, everybody. That's it. Stay in school. Senior shout out. We'll do it tomorrow on every one of the shows. We'll do it again all next week as well. Also, a quick reminder, starting tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 10, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ will stay local. George Sedano from 10 to noon. Will Kane after that. Mason in Ireland from 3 to 6, 3 to 6:30, but I'll hop on a crosstalk at 6 o'clock, and then we'll do Sliwa Show as well from there till 9. Mason in Ireland, a little bit earlier today, had Rob Pelinka on. And it's been great to hear from Pelinka. That's 2 days in a row we got a chance to hear from him just to get, you know, his perspective on what's going on. It was great to hear from LeBron yesterday. I want to play this real quick from Pelinka earlier today on how the team, the organization, the players, everybody preparing for all the different situations that could play out in the NBA.
I was on a conference call this morning with, Adam Silver and everybody at the league. I'll tell you, they've done such an amazing job with information dissemination and just keeping everyone up to speed with what's going on. And, of course, again, through the lens of health and safety of our fans and the players, you know, first and foremost, once you get past that, you get into the layers of thinking about those type of questions. You know, if we can finish a season, what would it look like? When will the draft be? It's historically in June. When will NBA free agency be? It's historically in July. And the way that, you know, Frank Vogel and I are approaching this is we have to be prepared for any of those scenarios. And so the work, to your point, Steve, when you said, what's your day like? We have to continue to do Zoom calls with the scouts and think through what the draft could look like because we own our first round pick. We have to start doing preparation around, hey, if free agency is here July 1st, what about this roster are we satisfied with? What areas are we looking to improve in? What players have, outplayed their contracts and maybe looking for more money. So all of those questions you have to start thinking about. And then simultaneously with that, you have to say this season's not a finished product. So if we're allowed to play in games, you know, fanless games, games in a single location or games in our training center or at Staples Center, we have to think through all the operations around that and be prepared if those opportunities come and how our team will be together still, how they'll be prepared. So there's a lot of stuff going on a daily basis that Lakers fans should know. We're thinking through every scenario and we're staying ready.
it's an interesting dynamic. That was president for the Lakers, president of basketball operations, GM. Rob Pelinka was on with Mason Ireland a little bit earlier today. So I say it's interesting because, we haven't really got too much of a chance to hear from some of the front office folks from the Lakers and to hear from Pelinka. By the way, this is league-wide. I mean, it's not like everybody's coming out and giving their thoughts and their feelings on what's going on. But I'm curious to know, and I think that's, how are they planning for things? How can you plan for things right now? You can play out all these different scenarios like we do on the show and that all these other shows are doing, saying, well, if the NBA, you know what, don't come back after this date, or if you're going to come back, you can't go past this, or play out this scenario, do it all in Vegas. Like, we're playing these out, but these are just ideas that we're throwing out there. I do feel, to kind of get some look into what Pelinka is thinking in his mind and how they're approaching their day-to-day and how they're incorporating head coach Frank Vogel into that mix, I think it's great to kind of get a little bit of their perspective. I do also want to play one more thing from Rob. He was asked about just what he thinks about when he thinks of Kobe, obviously the late, great Kobe Bryant, who passed away over 2 months ago with his daughter and seven others in that helicopter crash. Here's Rob Pelinka's answer to that.
The friendship. I think anyone that encountered Kobe and Gigi, whether that was as a friend or watching him at a basketball game or interacting with one of them in person, for those so blessed to have had that, we all have, because of that, some sort of, flame in us that will stay alive and that will carry forward. I think that's what was meant by the quote. I think in a time like this, where there's a lot of darkness in the world, he was the strongest of friends you could have, because any obstacle that was put in front of him or in front of a friend, he would look at and say, okay, here's how we're going to overcome that, and here's how we're going to make this obstacle something that ultimately leads to a greater good. And that was just his mentality. And as a friend, he was so incredibly good at that. And even in this time, he continues to inspire, ways around this current obstacle, because so many of the messages and so many of the things he had to say are still imprinted in you and in your mind. And so, but that's the thing that I think of the most, is just, how amazing he was to ride through hard times with.
We'll see. We'll see how things play out and how they play out the rest of the way. But, I'm rooting for Pelinka. What I mean when I say that is, listen, it's been a tough year for everybody. And, whether, you want to think back to the tragic passing of Kobe, you want to think of what's going on right now with this, with COVID-19 and just the situation around the world. And you've heard a lot of people say this, like, man, 2020 has been tough. And I look at Rob, who had such a close relationship with Kobe, and I'm sure there's, for a lot of people, when you go to work or the basketball part of things, I've heard actually some of these high school athletes, they've been saying it all week too, where they're referencing when they're together with their friends in the band, or they get together with their baseball team and they're in the dugout, like, you forget about everything else. And that's kind of what sports has been. And in this case, everything else gets paused, so that takes a little bit of a backseat to it. But rooting for, hopefully the Lakers do get an opportunity, they do get a chance. And Pelinka, who's put this team together, maybe that opportunity is going to be there in a couple months where the Lakers are competing for a championship. Okay, I mentioned it earlier, David Bowder of the Associated Press. What is TV viewership while everyone is quarantined? What's it look like? What shows are dominating? What news networks are doing really, really well? I thought it'd be kind of different and unique to get that perspective, because we're all sitting at home right now, and I don't know about you guys, but a lot of Netflix, a lot of movies. We'll see what's kind of topping the charts in that department. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710. All right, welcome back. Sliwa Show will go till 9 o'clock tonight. Want to welcome in David Bowder, media writer for the Associated Press. David, thanks for hopping on. Appreciate you joining the show.
Thank you.
All right. So you have, we are, you know, as you are probably very well aware, in this world of no sports, we are zigging and we are zagging. So we are doing a little bit of everything. And I like to kind of use opportunities like this. So you had an article, I know you write for the Associated Press. You had an article in USA Today, watching TV finales while quarantined, and how some specific shows are getting some viewership boosts. So I wanted to just kind of I wanted to start off this conversation is everyone's obviously at home. What shows are thriving right now? What shows are doing really well, if you don't mind kind of sharing that with us?
A lot of shows are thriving. The things that are thriving the most are news programs, particularly you know, Fox News and CNN and MSNBC. Their ratings are through the roof, and by far they lead all the other cable news channels. But across primetime, pretty much most shows are getting a boost because people are sitting there and have more time. I mean, last week they had the series finale for Hawaii Five-0 on CBS and the season finale for The Good Doctor on ABC, and they both got real strong boosts. Part of it was because they were landmark issues for the shows, but part of it, I think, also is that they had a captive audience.
I'm sorry. No, I cut you off there. I was going to say, so I think the news part, it's not surprising, right? I think a lot of people are trying to get as much information as they can. I know for me, I watched probably more news in this last 30 days than I watched over the last year or so. When you say that there is such an increase in viewership or whatever the case is, but how, by comparing it to 2 months ago, 3 months ago, is it double? Is it, I mean, are the ratings, are they significantly different than they've been in the past? I think I'm curious just because so many people are at home and obviously, so many people are trying to grab so much, as much information as they can.
Yeah, it's not quite double, but for those particular shows that I just mentioned, the viewership was up 40% over what it was during the month of February. And a number of other shows also saw pretty good increases. The Masked Singer, FBI Most Wanted, Superstore. I'll be very interested in seeing how the finale of Modern Family did last night as well. These are all shows where the numbers went up, and this is a time of year when numbers generally go down a bit because it's starting to be better weather in northern and eastern areas, and so people are spending more time outside and less time in front of the TV set. But obviously this year, that's not the case.
What do you have any of these kind of stand out to you, or what are you watching these days?
What am I watching? Unfortunately, I'm watching too much of the news, but when I want a break, we've been, I watch things like Curb Your Enthusiasm and the late night shows to try and get a laugh. John Oliver, I always watch pretty religiously. The big sensation this time has obviously been Tiger King on Netflix.
How about that?
I'm anxious to see that too. The numbers for that have been through the roof.
Have you seen it yet, or you haven't?
No, I'm anxious to see it myself. I haven't yet seen it. I've got to convince my wife and kids to watch it.
Well, it is I'm not one that kind of falls into some of those different. I mean, I watch Netflix series and everything else, but this is so different, right? And it's such a different type of storyline than you're accustomed to or you'll ever be accustomed to. So when you do convince the wife and the kids, I think you will be hooked.
I'm excited.
But it is kind of, and I know that's been the conversation so much is this Tiger King stuff, but it is kind of fascinating because it is, it's just different. It's not like anything that I think we've watched in the past. You had another piece, and I thought it was interesting as well. So many of these shows now, I mean, I'm doing my radio show. Here we are on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. I'm doing it from home. And this is what a lot of these major, major networks are doing now. So one of your other pieces was kind of the setups from home. How are viewers adjusting to their favorite shows, not in these big-time studios, but doing it from home?
I think they're getting used to it because I was watching some of the morning shows the other day, and it's surprising to me how it has become second nature that it's not even really remarked upon that you see these figures that you normally see sitting on a couch together or instead on individual boxes on the screen. But it makes for some different things, too, because it's some of the morning show hosts are telecasting from their own home, and people are watching what kind of photographs are in the background or what kind of paintings right. or what they can see. Gail King from CBS News told me the other day that she had some woman who kept writing to her on social media that the pillow on the chair behind her was crooked and it was driving her nuts. But your organization actually has made some news today and had something that I think is going to be fascinating by convening some NBA stars to compete in a horse competition, the children's game. Or the kids game, you know.
How about that, David? How about that? That's where we are right now.
Yes, pardon me.
I said that's where we are right now. How about that?
Yeah, like, I mean, I've enjoyed watching some of these, old games and old programming, but there's only so much of that you can watch. But to see something like this, I think that's actually pretty creative, and I think it'll be fun. Heck, I'll tune in and watch.
Well, I think what it's done to David Botter, media writer for Associated Press, hopping on the Sliwa show. A couple good articles right now on some of the TV viewership and ratings going through the roof simply because we're all in quarantine. But I think there's something too about, you know, everyone's trying to be as creative as they can programming wise, right? Content wise.
Yeah.
And when you say, I think the studio shows, that's been one thing, and when I read your article, that kind of stuck out to me, and it's, I think, makes it a little bit more personable. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're watching some of your favorite, whether it's on the sports side of things, you know, ESPN, they're doing a lot of shows from home, or some of these big-time shows, too, that are, you know, you're so accustomed in these huge sets in New Angeles and so forth. Now you're in somebody's living room, or now you're in somebody's basement, or you're in their kitchen. I think it's unique, and I know it's the circumstances we're in. I know it's not preferred, but I think it is. It's one of those times we'll look back on this and just kind of remember when this is what everybody had to do, and we're slowly adjusting to, I think, what's becoming kind of the norm for now.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and I think that some of the TV networks were a little bit scared about how this would work, and they have been finding exactly what you said, that viewers kind of enjoy taking a peek inside the living rooms and the kitchens of some of their favorite TV stars.
Yeah, I think for us, and you know, I could speak from this just from a radio perspective, it's not perfect, right? I mean, there are times where we're doing the show too, and it's like, well, that didn't sound all that good, or this could have been better. But I think there's also, I think for those who want the content, they still want to, you know, in some shape, way, or form, have their routine of what they were accustomed to. I think there's the understanding that it's not perfect, it's not supposed to be perfect, but like, that's okay too. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like you're using that example of something small where she's saying the pillow was out of somebody's got to straighten that pillow. Like, all those things, it's like, it is what it is.
Let me turn the tables on you for a second. What's the experience been like for you?
You know, I think in the beginning there was an incredible, like, adjustment. You know, you're always accustomed to being in a radio studio. You're accustomed to having, you know, all these screens in front of you that allows to grab callers, to have your producer in front of you, have conversations. And then all of a sudden that's all gone and I'm just literally doing it from the living room. It was an adjustment, I would say, the first week and a half, 2 weeks, and now I feel like it's the norm. I think that's just all of us, right? Like, whatever it is that you have to adjust to, you just end up adjusting to.
I think something like this makes you be more creative. You don't have the sports that are going on to talk about, and you don't have a bunch of statistics on a screen in front of you, so you have a lot of, you have to figure out what to talk about, and I think it probably makes for a very interesting show.
Let's just say this, David. When sports does come back, I think I'll be good to go. I think I'll be ready, content-wise and everything else. But, David, I appreciate the insight. David Bowder, media writer for Associated Press. A great couple articles that you had, and I think it just kind of gives us a little bit, you know, a unique perspective on looking at things during a quarantine of how TV viewership is and everything else. So thank you for hopping on, and thanks for taking
some time. And I, too, look forward to days when you can talk about the Dodgers and things and not have to worry about people like me.
I still want – hey, we'll still be able to connect, whether they're sports or not. But I appreciate you taking the time. All right, David?
Thank you. Take care.
All right, great stuff there from David. I will say this. I know for me personally, this kind of time has also allowed to go interview different type of folks, different type of people that are in different industries. So that part I want to keep, even when we do get sports back. All right, I want to read some of your guys' tweets when we come back. Got a lot of comments on Twitter on a Laker topic I put up. We'll do that. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. The show flew by. Let's just say that. Absolutely flew by. Appreciate everybody who's been tuning in. By the way, if you're in your car, you're driving around, you're doing your thing, or you're listening on the app, we greatly appreciate it. Couple tweets that I want to read off real quick. Christy Walker says, "Oh gosh, let's not put that out to the universe." I did send out a question to Laker fans about if we didn't play out the rest of the season and the season was over, would you consider this season a success? And I know Laker fans don't want to think about that, and you know nobody does, but you just have no idea if that could potentially be the predicament that the Lakers are in. Dan Blanco says, "I love all the hell no responses, like it's a disaster or something. It's a successful season, as what is going on is out of our control, and they had a good shot of winning, number one in the West, and they were a joy to watch." Hopefully it ain't the case. Hopefully we do play out the rest of the year, but I'm curious to get people's responses. Actually, I thought Mason, who put up a tweet about if you would go to a game if there is no vaccine, if you would go to a sporting event. I'm not surprised most people are saying no, they wouldn't. I think the last time I saw his tweet, he had like 60% or something like along those lines that, 59.1% say no, they wouldn't go to a game if there's no vaccine for COVID-19. So we'll see what plays out. I do want to promote a couple quick things for tomorrow. So for tomorrow, Mark Spears, NBA senior writer for ESPN's Undefeated, he'll hop on the show. Chris Perkel, he has a documentary, Coachella, 20 Years in the Desert. That is actually coming out tomorrow at noon on YouTube. And then we'll have him on a little bit later in the show to talk about that. I know a lot of people bummed not going to Coachella this year. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. Quick reminder tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. Sliwa Show will be on as well tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock, Crosstalk, and then 6:30, Sliwa Show till 9 o'clock. L.A., thanks for all the calls and the tweets. Have a great rest of your night.